This is the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. It was one of the worst single attacks against U.S. forces in the war. Suicide car bombs in Diyala province north of Baghdad yesterday killed 9 U.S. paratroopers. 20 other soldiers and 1 Iraqi were wounded. The Americans were all from the 82nd Airborne based at Fort Bragg. A group linked to Al-Qaeda has claimed responsibility. In an earlier unrelated incident, a U.S. soldier was killed by a roadside bomb, also north of Baghdad. On Capitol Hill, a House committee holds a hearing today to investigate the death by friendly fire of Army Ranger Pat Tillman. The committee will also probe the 2003 rescue of Private Jessica Lynch. Lynch's videotaped rescue by Special Forces was criticized as having been embroidered for the public. In Washington, the fight between Congress and President Bush over Iraq war funding is coming to a head. Democrats tomorrow will begin voting on the $100 billion war appropriation bill, which includes a timetable for troop withdrawal. The president has vowed to veto it. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon today meets with Syria's president. Ban Ki-moon seeks Syrian approval to use an international court to try the Syrian suspects in the murder of former Lebanese Premier Rafiq al-Hariri. The Secretary General will also discuss weapons smuggling. Hamas today began firing rockets into Israel from the Gaza Strip in retribution for the 9 Palestinians killed over the weekend. The rocket fire breaks a 5-month ceasefire. Yesterday, the top Palestinian security chief quit, saying he was not able to bring law and order to the territories as he had promised. In Somalia, Ethiopian tanks are hammering portions of Mogadishu today. There are also reports of shelling and gun battles near the presidential palace. More than 250 people have been killed in the past week. In Ethiopia, a remote Chinese oil company base was attacked today by 200 rebel gunmen. 74 Chinese and 65 Ethiopian oil workers were killed. 7 Chinese workers were kidnapped. Georgia's fire is still raging out of control. 58,000 acres and 24 homes have been destroyed. 6,000 residents have been evacuated. Firefighters believe the blaze was started by a downed power line. You're listening to QNN.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
In the past quarter, Toyota beat General Motors to become the world's leading automaker. The Japanese company sold 2.348 million vehicles worldwide. GM sold 2.26 million vehicles. Pepsi reported a 15% decline in profits today on a net income of $29 million. The world's second largest soda company cited a surge in prices for aluminum and corn syrup. DuPont says its quarterly profits increased to $945 million. The nation's second largest chemical company cited robust sales in seeds and pharmaceuticals. A sluggish housing market means fewer sales of household appliances, and that translates into a modest decline in quarterly profits for Whirlpool. Quarterly net income was pegged at $117 million. The FDA announced it has approved 13 generic versions of popular sleep aid Ambien. Ambien is produced by French company Sanofi Aventis. British Petroleum said today its quarterly profit dropped 17% to $4.66 billion. The oil giant says it is producing less oil and paying more to get the crude out of the ground. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 12 points at 12,931, NASDAQ up 4, S&P 500 up 1. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, all right, all right, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Tuesday morning Tuesday morning, or really, 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 really early Anzac Day here in Australia. So for all the people that are going to get up in the morning and head to the pub and play two up, I hope you all have a really good day. We've got a couple of Aussies in the chat room. Holy Moses and Fire Ant are already having their Anzac beers, which is good. Taking part in the Australian pastime, which is drinking beer. And that was fun filling in for Joe, and that was cool. An on the spot interview, you know, the whole kind of thing as I pour the end of my my early morning pitcher of Joe here, a little bit of coffee. And I went off on Johnny Howard and Joe's show for the Iraq War. I got more to go off on Johnny Howard in my show about the environment. Okay. I got some audio. We're going to get there in a minute. But the Australian election campaign has unofficially begun in earnest. John Howard's been out making a few speeches as of late, and he's really trying to, I don't know, cover his ass with rhetoric. Guy's got to be one of the most boneheaded, arrogant fools. And just like Tony Blair was, I kind of have to say, because he's now really leading Europe on environmental issues, which has really, really got to be giving old Bushy just the heebie-jeebies. But, you know, it's cheerleader time. And John Howard came out with something that I just could not believe. I absolutely could not believe in a speech that he gave, I believe, night before last. And I had to grab the audio because the hubris only comes out really properly when you hear it in his kind of mumbly style of speech. So, Agnes, if you would, please roll clip number one.
To say that climate change is the overwhelming moral challenge for this generation of Australians is misguided at best and misleading at worst.
Excuse me? Excuse the out of me? Misleading? Who's misleading, Mr. Howard? Come on! How far up your ass is your head? Or, how far up your ass is the coal industry's puppet hand? You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of all this talk about it's the environment or the economy. Hello, without an environment, you have no economy, you dumbass. As though that wasn't enough, Agnes, would you please roll clip two?
A decision taken on a long-term target will be the most important economic decision that Australia takes in the next decade.
Now that means you're going to continue doing the same damn thing you've been doing, subsidizing the coal industry for electrical power while wanting to demand, absolutely demand, that private industry make renewables and new sources of energy competitive without the same subsidies, and consider that an even playing field. You're an ass, Mr. Howard. And this is all very, very short-sighted, you know, and using these fear tactics that, like, the economy is going to fall apart if we stop burning coal. Now, those audio clips came from ABC's Late Line. Thank you to our ABC for that here in Australia. And I've got one more clip, but I'm going to save that. But later on in the program, they had one of the Green senators on, and they're releasing their environmental policy. And this woman, whose name I don't have in front of me, would not be sidetracked by the idea that it's the economy or the environment. The fact is, if you want to have a thriving economy in the future, coal has to be phased out. I'm sorry, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We can't continue to do this. And what you have to realize, here in Australia, coal is subsidized so much for electric generation that it costs the generating companies 3 cents a kilowatt hour to produce. That's how much subsidy there is. Right? And if you actually remove that subsidy, it would be almost on par with where solar generation is today without subsidy. Now, the only reason that Australia's economy has continued to boom has been purely on resources, purely on the fact that we're stripping all this dirty-ass coal out of the ground to run our economy. That is not sustainable. That is not realistic. But this guy is so weak, he couldn't possibly think. And Howard's big problem is, he's so full of hubris that this guy does not have the strength to actually be a real man and say, I was wrong. Or, over the years, or over recent time, I have come to understand things better, and I'm going to change my policy. That would be a brave man. Not this nonsense. Not this stupidity. Because the way that we're going is leading us down the road to absolute demise. All of us. It's not just Australia. It's not just the United States. It's all of us. So we're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, I got one more piece of audio, and it gave me a little bit of hope, because I've been very upset at Peter Garrett, former singer from Midnight Oil, over a few things, because, well, I was expecting more from him, and I think I'm seeing signs of him gaining his spine back. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
That's the Big Dipper over there.
Yellow and blue make green.
Well, a cow pie really isn't a pie.
Come on, Beth, open your eyes!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage, and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool, and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And good pick, Agnes, Mr. Richard Clapton, because he was playing at a pro-workers' rights concert that was held in Sydney this weekend, and this kind of ties into my next bit of audio here. On Sunday, there was Your Rights at Work March from Sydney to the Sydney Cricket Ground, I do believe. And then there was a bit of a concert, and Mr. Clapton was that track you just heard as we came in was one of the bands playing. I believe the Screaming Jets were on the bill, and many others. And Peter Garrett was there. Now, he's with the Australian Labor Party now. He used to was the lead singer from Midnight Oil. And he's been an environmental rights activist and human rights activist for years. And he's always been really outspoken. Now, since he became a Minister of Parliament, he's kind of backed down on a few things that I know really don't represent his true opinions. And one of them is the fact that the Labor Party has had a standing rule that for, I don't know, it's 25 or 35 years, Holy Moses or Fire Ant can clarify this for me in the chat room, that the Labor Party has had a standing rule that no expansion of uranium mining. What we do now is all we're going to do. And one of the bones that I've had to pick with the new Labor leader, Mr. Rudd, has been the fact that he's talking about expanding uranium mining. And I mean, he's got a pretty good platform when it comes to the environment and whatnot. And he doesn't want nuke plants here, but he's kind of in favor of exporting more uranium, I guess, as a way to maybe satisfy the mining unions when it comes to mining jobs or something. If coal gets pulled back, I'm not exactly sure. And Peter has kind of really lost step, and a lot of people have been fairly disappointed in him because he started talking about kind of taking a party line a little bit. And rumor has it, and some reports have it, that Peter was, at this concert where he would have been surrounded by a whole lot of people from his former life, probably technicians that used to work with him, other musicians that he used to play with, things like that. And I think he got read the Riot Act a little bit, saying, mate, this isn't why people supported you. People supported you so that you would bring to the table these issues and that you would stand firm. And in the very same report that the previous audio from Late Line on the ABC, which you can find at abc.net.au, and if you go to the Late Line page, you can actually watch these reports on the vodcast. Peter Garrett had there was a little snippet from Garrett which gave me a little bit of hope that maybe he's seeing the light, that there is a reason why he was given such a kind of a smooth road into the party. Because people wanted a voice like his that he always had in his music, in his writings, and in his personal life. Agnes, if you would, please play clip 3.
I have always said that we're into nuclear as far as we ought to be. I won't be supporting any proposals to expand uranium mining in Australia.
Thank you very much, Peter Garrett, and I hope that you continue to walk that talk. Because this is concessions are not the way to go, especially not now. We've conceded ourselves into such a hole over so many things, especially when it comes to the environment, human rights, workers' rights, all these things. So, and this is actually going right against his own party leadership at the moment. And Rudd had a fine response. He said, look, this is what the political debate is about, and we will discuss these issues at the National Party meeting, which is coming up very soon, and it's up for discussion. And then Rudd kind of went into what his argument would be, not saying that he was going to railroad Mr. Garrett, but at least there's some talk about some democratic discussion within the party about the issue. And I hope that Peter goes armed with everything that he knows, because I know he's well educated, pardon me, on these issues. And Holy Moses is saying in the chat room, I think he's yet to come out fighting. And I agree with you, and I think he's held his guns a little long, but better late than never. I really want him to be out there pushing his party in the right direction, because he's been right on the money. They kind of cornered him a little bit, when he talked about You know, they've thrown things in his book against him, you know, about not expanding American military bases in Australia, and he backpedaled on that now that he's in the party and whatnot. And I kind of understand some of that stuff. You know, he's a new member, and you know, he's trying to gain people's respect and also learn, you know, finding his way. And so I just really, Peter, I'm begging you, mate, I'm begging you, be the man you are. Don't be something you're not. You're going to be much more effective. That's all I can say. And I hope that this is just the beginning of what will be a very effective, if not somewhat confronting, political career. Because I'm sorry, he's spot on with a lot of things, with, you know, and he knows his environment stuff, and that's the reason why he was given the portfolio of the of the environment with Labor. So, you know, that's that. And so now we're going to move on to our track of the day. And like I said, you know, I didn't have all that much time to prep for today, but that's okay. So I didn't have anything in particular in mind when I was going to select today's track of the day, and so I just wanted to go with something that I love to listen to. And this is a track that I remember my longest-serving drum teacher gave me this chart when I was, about 14. And Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Spinning Wheel. And I love this track. You know, it's just, it's got kind of the rock thing, but there's this big band thing that goes on in it. And, you know, I've spoken about Tool, how they use complex time signatures and things. And this is a great example of that in a completely different form. And the outro to the song, there's actually basically two separate bands almost playing, and they're playing in two different times over each other. It's what is sometimes known as polyrhythm, and it's a great example of the use of polyrhythm. You'll hear both parts singly within the track, and then in the outro, the two of them are put one on top of another, and the drummer actually has to maintain both signatures. And it's a beautiful thing. So without further ado, Spinning Wheel from Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Roll it, Agnes.
What goes up must come down. Spinning wheel, got to go. Pony, let the spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn. Did you buy the directing sign on the straight and pony on the spinning wheel ride. Ha.
big pony, let the spinning wheel fly.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in the news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And during the break there, we're having a little bit of NRL chat, that being rugby league here in Australia. The three Australians in the chat room at the moment. And I was just speaking about the fact that, you know, South Sydney Rabbitohs won again this weekend, and the reason why this is important, okay, rugby league is used to be a very local game in Australia, and then Packer, who owned Channel 9, he died last year, created this thing called Super League, and they wanted to make it something as big as the NFL in America, and they kind of combined two different codes together, and it really took the all reports that I got when I first came to this country and was being explained how football worked here, that it really kind of killed the game for a while. And South Sydney was one of the foundation teams of the rugby league, and when these after Super League failed a few years back, they decided that there were too many teams, you see, and a couple had to go. So Packer, who ran all the television and whatnot, basically forced Souths out. Now, Souths has produced more first-grade players, as far as I know, than any other club in Australia. And there was a huge outpouring. And I went to a game, a Souths game, while they were out of the competition. I went to the Charity Shield game that happens every year. And I was at Redfern Oval watching a team with no league playing basically a friendly game. And there was almost 20,000 people there. More fans than were at the other Sydney team's game at the Sydney Cricket Ground the same night. And South Sydney fans fought long and hard to get that team restated back into the league, and ever since they've been back in, they've had money problems, organizational problems, coaching problems, and they basically come on the bottom of the table every year. Well, this year they won their first three, then dropped two to the first two, like, really tough teams that they faced this year, and this last night they beat, Fire Ant, you go for the other Queensland team, but they beat the Queensland Cowboys on last night in a very tight game. And this is actually getting me interested in football again, purely because the Bunnies are back in, and Russell Crowe bought the team last year. And so he's thrown some money, and they've made some great player choices. They seem to be doing the right thing, and what was once a great team very well could be a great team again. And this, my good mate Scott Berry, who Mr. B1 Louder himself, played for South's juniors when he was a kid. And I remember when the decision came down that they were reinstated in the league, Scott and I were sharing an apartment in South Sydney, and he says, "Come on, get in the car." I'm like, "Where are we going?" He goes, "Don't worry, you'll see." And we get in the car, and we go driving straight to South Sydney Club, right, which is basically, you know, restaurant come casino come entertainment complex connected to the Oval. And it's illegal in New South Wales to beep your horn in your car for any other reason than a warning. And he says, "We're about to break the law." And we went riding around South Sydney, beeping our horn, screaming and yelling, "Yay, yay, 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 yay!" That Souths were back in the competition, and the people from South Sydney just came out in droves just to show their support, and you saw an entire community have like their heart restored. And when I was living in Redfern, there's a little pub just around the corner from the ground, called the Raging Bunny. And I watched for a couple of years, you know, it started to kind of go down, and you know, you could. This was a pub that evolved around the game and the team. And I could just imagine that little pub must be just going off its head recently. They must be absolutely just reinvigorated. It's, you know, I mean, this Redfern is where you've got like a pocket of Aboriginals in city and state housing. There's some poor areas there. They've been trying to get forced out by developers, all this kind of stuff. This is a working class area. and they had their soul ripped out, and they gained it back. And, you know, Scott was saying to me that he's having a problem with this whole Russell Crowe thing, because, you know, there's certain, you know, he thinks Russell's a great actor and all that, but then Russell kind of backs some things. There's the Bra Boys and whatnot, which he has a little bit of issue with, but he says, I'm stuck in a quagmire here, mate. I have a little bit of a political problem with the guy, but it looks like he's going to save my team. What do I do? And so, you know, sport has been so bastardized by media. You know, I was a huge New York Giants fan, you know, when I was a kid. And, you know, I went, and so this is, I guess this is where I kind of fall for Souse as well, is for years, man, we were getting our butts kicked. We were always at the bottom of the table. And then we got Coach Parcells, baby. And after so many years, we finally got a team, and we won in 87 our very first Super Bowl. And it was just, it was a great thing. And, you know, and that was just kind of like the beginning of when the NFL was starting to get too big for its britches, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, I still think that there are good things about professional sport, even though I've been really turned off by it in recent years. And like I said, one of these weeks, I'm going with Scott to a Bunnies game. I'll get all done up in me red and green. Steve Rogers, he was God, wasn't he? Holy Moses. Steve Rogers was God, and his son was called Jesus down in Sharky Land, if I'm not mistaken. I won't even get into that, folks. That's really, really getting into Australian rugby league history there. But see, I know it all, man. I was introduced to the NRL by a Sharky fan, because I was living down near Cronulla, and so I mean that's where I got my feet wet with rugby league. Was going and seeing a couple of Sharkies games, and Souse now have David Peachy, and he's doing really, really well. I used to just remember going to Sharks game and hearing all the fans going, "Peachy, don't drop the pill," which is how they refer to the ball here. But anyway, boy, have I gone off on a tangent. But just kind of fun having these all, you know, this kind of like Australian contingent here in the chat room. It's great. I think this is the first time I've seen Fire Ant and Holy Moses. One's from Sydney and one's from Townsville. We got two different states represented over here, and you know we only got a couple more. But anyway, we're heading into our final break here in a moment, and we're going to come back, and I got a really interesting story about Tony Blair and his possible replacement and zoning problems that they're having over in the UK with renewable sources of energy and whatnot, and it kind of similar things to what we heard about Al Gore and his wanting to install solar panels on his property. But anyway, we'll get to that when we come back. So stick around, folks. We got a little bit more to go after this to wrap up this double shot of Fox that you've had today, and we'll keep doing this for the rest of the week. You know, we'll stick around. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. You were always gonna be the one. You only ever did it just for fun. But you run to paradise.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Isn't that? Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Nice one, Agnes. Right on.
A bit of treaty.
Right on, folks. Where was I going? Anyway, I'll stop with the NRL talk. Boy, was that self-indulgent, but that's okay. From our good friends at treehugga.com, there's a piece here that says, Prime Minister not allowed to go solar. And it says, we recently reported that future Prime Minister David Cameron ran into trouble with authorities over the wind turbine he installed at his London home. Now there's news which shows current PMs have just as much trouble with planning applications as future PMs. Tony Blair submitted an application to install solar panels and CCTV on his 3.5 million pound home, cough choke, which has been rejected after complaints from neighbors. Perhaps he could buy the whole street, so there would be no objection. He already owns the adjoining 800,000-pound house, which he plans to use as an office. It's a shame that people are stopped from installing solar cells and wind turbines just because a neighbor complains. One can only hope now that Tony and David have been personally touched by this bureaucracy. New legislation would be brought to make this kind of thing easier, and that's from The Guardian. And how frustrating has that got to be? You know, Tony's really working very hard as of late to push the environmental message. And over at Tree Hugger, they've got this great picture of Tony Blair with a Stratocaster. And sitting right next to him is a teddy bear with a matching Stratocaster. And that's a Fender guitar, for those of you who don't know what it is. I had kind of forgotten he was kind of a fledgling wannabe rock star when he was a kid. But the one-eyed teddy bear with the matching black Strat, that's kind of cute. The fact that your neighbors can complain.
Oh, well, he wants to put up solar panels.
You know, I just... I don't know. If that had been me, the tirade that would be received by those neighbors for me would just be amazing. I can assure you. I mean, I'd just read them the riot act on how stupid they are. I mean, do you react this way because you feel guilty that you're not doing it yourself or you don't have the means to do it yourself? I mean, please. This is just absolutely just ludicrous as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, Al Gore ran into similar problems with wanting to install solar stuff because they can because of some really, really stupid regulation. and Trouble in the chat room says, but I bet you could probably put up a 10-foot Santa. Oh, yeah, I bet. And in America, you know, you might not be able to put up a wind turbine, but if you put up a 2-story crucifix in your backyard, you'd probably be able to get a subsidy. Mentioning crucifixes. segue. On my way to go into the city for my meeting today, which was very successful, mind you. In fact, I may have a sponsor for this show, but more on that to come. I'm waiting at the train platform, and there's this very kind of hippied up looking girl having a very happy conversation with the station manager. And as I walk by, and I'm shuffling through my MP3 player to choose a song, first thing I hear come out of her mouth is, "I'm a missionary." Blah, 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 blah. And I see her spot me, and I got that look of, ooh, I want to talk to him. He looks like he needs saving. And I was just like, uh-oh. Now, I tell you what. Be long-haired with a ponytail and an MP3 player. I'll tell you exactly how you avoid a god nut. Pick Tool on your playlist. Stick the headphones in. Turn it up so loud that it can be heard across the platform. And just kind of gently bang your head as you walk by. She changed her mind really quick. And, you know, it was just one of these things, you know, and I gave her that look like, seriously, I'm not the one you want to come and try and save. Because you're going to get a serve. And, you know, I am, not to say that, you know, just because she's a missionary, she's bad, but she was obviously on the I'm out to convert people vibe. No thanks. Because as far as I'm concerned, doesn't matter what the religion is. Now, I don't have a problem with faith. And I don't have a problem with people having spiritual beliefs. I have spiritual beliefs myself. But fundamentalist, extreme religious doctrine with conversion tactics are destructive to this society. When people start playing, "My God is bigger than your God," you're going to end up opening up a can of worms with me that you really wish you hadn't. You know, I can't go there. There's too much strife over religion, fundamentalist religion, in this world. And, you know, if someone came up to me and said, you know, we have to have a central religion and you got to vote for one, I know exactly where I'd vote. I'd vote for Buddhism. Because as far as I understand, Buddhists are the only ones that have it actually written to tolerate all others' beliefs, and that there is nothing about conversion, and there's nothing about confrontation. Is it Randy Rhodes refers to it as easy breezy Buddhists or whatever? And there's a lot to do with that. I saw a really great interview with Herbie Hancock. He's in Australia at the moment, and he's been a practicing Buddhist for some 40 years, and damn, he looks good for a guy that's got to be about 60. That just blew me away when I saw him. I was just like, wow, man. You've done well for yourself. You've taken care of yourself. You know, and coming from that jazz background, when he was a young pianist, first entering the scene, it was when, you know, bloody heroin was just a scourge on the jazz community. And he ended up avoiding it completely, and you know, he's just a wonderful player, and seemed like he was a guy. He talked about the fact that what Buddhism gave to him was respect for every single human life and for every single human, and that every human life is worth as much as the next. And you know, I think the rest of them could learn a lot from that. And this whole conversion garbage that goes on, you know, believe in my God or perish, is just a load of bull dinky. Boy, have I come completely around the bend. Whoa, geez, I've gone from the NRL to environmentalists and zoning laws to fundamentalist religion and missionaries. Hey, anyway, folks, we're going to wrap it up, and thank you, Agnes, for producing today. It's great to have you back. Thank you to B1 Ladder Productions for the music as per usual. And Scott Berry, I'm glad that you're all right after having totaled your car the other night. Came out pretty much without a scratch, but the car's not looking too good. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. Thank you to our bloggers. Thank you to our mods in the chat room. Hi to everybody in the chat room. It's been fun in there today. And, you know, as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
Just fighting, he needs his independence, said the words from the report. Excuse me, and laying out his role in 31 attacks. And again, this article before said 29, today it said 28, it's back to 31. Make up their minds. His words drew Al-Qaeda closer to plots of the early 1990s than the group has previously been linked, including the 1993 World Trade Center truck bombing in which six people died. Apparently this man is responsible for that also, folks. How amazing we're tying up loose ends. Six people with links to global terror networks were convicted in federal court and sentenced to life in prison for that attack. Mohammed made clear that Al-Qaeda wanted to down a second transatlantic aircraft during would-be shoe bomber Richard Reed's operation. He confessed to the beheading of Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl in a section of the statement that was excised from the public document. So in other words, he's now convinced, or he's conveying to us through this so-called confession that he's the one who beheaded Daniel Pearl. The Associated Press has learned Pearl was abducted in January 2002 in Pakistan while researching a story on Islamic militancy. Mohammed has long been a suspect in the slaying, which was captured on video. And now, lo and behold, folks, Mohammed's confession, da-da-da, he admits to that one also. President Bush announced that Mohammed and 13 other alleged terror operatives had been moved from secret CIA prisons to the U.S. Naval base of Guantanamo Bay last year. Sorry, folks, I'm upset and I'm excited. They are considered the 14 most significant captures since 9/11. The military began the hearings last Friday to determine whether the 14 should be declared enemy combatants who can be held indefinitely and prosecuted by military tribunals. If the 14